we could clearly understand what changed and what remained constant. What changed was the channels from physical to digital. The tools became more sophisticated. The reach became global from local. And what remained constant was the core needs of the customer. The core goal remained unchanged: to understand the needs and building lasting relationships. While tools and institutions evolved, the heart of financial services marketing enriched by adapting to the changing needs of the customer, by focusing on a newer aspect of not just pushing products, but building long-term and lasting relationship with the customers. And this led to the shift to the modern and contemporary marketing channels. This big shift happened because of technology. Technology proved to be a turning point. Since the mid-20th century, IT has transformed marketing. The newer communication channels, the ability to aggregate the customer data, analyze the customer data, and act on it for tailoring the services, making customer feel happy and get a very good experience. Marketing shifted from institution and word of mouth to data-driven multi-touchpoint strategies, which also gave rise to the omni-channel, multiple touchpoints. Traditional relationship marketing still exists, but it is augmented and scaled. We see that traditional relationship marketing is not dying, but its basis, its foundation, is helping the modern marketers to evolve more and more. The tools have changed, but the purpose has not. The purpose is to understand the customer need, serve him better, and in turn build trust. When we say this was on the rise, the marketing was evolving, the technology was useful for transforming, to add to that, industrial revolution played its role. The production era, as we call it, 18th and 19th century, where in mass production and mass distribution, marketing became more organized. The key focus was on production efficiency, price, and availability. Marketing supported operations because they had to sell what they produced. The emerging print media, newspaper, brochures, posters, they all started promoting the savings schemes, the insurance plans, as well as the investment products. Marketing emphasis was on product features, broad message to large audience, and the radio and television, which emerged in the 20th century, indeed expanded the reach to even to the remotest areas. Advertising became more and more creative, competitive, and brand focused. What we have seen now, marketing evolved because of technology, marketing evolved because of different tools, but there were various experts also emerging during this period. One amongst them was Roy Anderson, whose book of 1957 brought in behavioral sciences into marketing. So over and above the other subjects, marketing was further enriched by utilizing the behavioral science, wherein understanding the customer behavior, based on that, the marketing actions became very useful. The impact was focusing on customer and devising strategies based on that. By the 1960s, market became more saturated, more and more people started learning the new tricks, business adopted more sophisticated strategies, focused on researching, segmenting, and targeting customers. The key shift was from product-centric approach to the customer-centric marketing. Now we enter into the 70s and 80s. What we saw in the 70s was the email technology. What we saw in the 80s was the database marketing. When we talk about email technology, it created a newer way of communicating. It establishes a two-way communication with the financial service provider, easily approaching the masses, as well as the masses could connect with the financial service provider. The database marketing approach helped the financial institutions to understand the customer better, create products, and deliver it at the right time to the customers. With that, the CRM further helped to improve relationship, target the customer with the need-based product, tailor the products based on the customer's needs, and the marketing shifted from loyalty and retention to customer life value concepts, from transactions to long-term relationships. So marketing was no more just a transaction or push product. It was on creating loyalty. It was on creating trust. It was on retaining the customers, creating more referrals, not only increasing the customer lifetime value of existing customers, but having growth with new referrals and acquisition. Then came the guerrilla marketing in 1984 by Chick Conrad Levinson. This specifically helped to deal with established players with low-cost creative tactics to compete with the larger and more resource companies. So even a new entrant could have his say in the market, and the established player could feel the presence of these new players. The viral marketing concept introduced in 1990s further expanded the reach of marketers. Banks introduced online portals, email campaigns, as well as started sending digital statements, which not only helped the customer to get it and refer it to at ease, but it also meant saving cost in sending this by post or courier. Marketing began experimenting with speed, reach, as well as the network effects. In 2000, we saw the integrated and service-oriented marketing, wherein we saw integration of both the online and offline channels. People need not go to the branches for getting their services. They could also get their services online. They did not have to go at a limited time where the branches are open. They could use the ATMs, they could use the online websites anytime, anywhere, based on their needs and requirements. The integrated and service-oriented marketing made good use of branches, websites, emails, and the SMSs. The integrated marketing communication became the mainstream in the 2000. Evolution of marketing mix happened initially because of the four P's, that is the product, price, place, promotion, introduced by Jerome McCarty. However, with the evolving needs, it also expanded to the seven P's by adding three more P's in the form of the people, processes, and physical evidence. Companies could better address the customer experience and service the delivery aspects. Then came the famous 4A's framework by Jagdish Sheth and Rajendra Sisodia, wherein the first A was for accessibility, to understand does the offerings truly meet the customer needs. The accessibility, that is it easy to obtain and use? The affordability, is it financially feasible for the customer? The awareness, does the customer understand the value clearly? So what these 4 A's helped was to deepen the customer focus. The key shift was from what the company sell, what the customer value, what the customer want, how they are going to use, is it affordable for them? And this totally changed the dynamics of marketing. And then came a more enriched concept of marketing, once again popularized by none other than Philip Kotler and Kevin Lane Keller, in the form of holistic marketing, wherein they said everything matters. Holistic marketing views everything matters in marketing and integrates activities across the stakeholders and touch points. The four pillars of holistic marketing had relationship marketing, integrated marketing, internal marketing, and performance marketing. When we talk about relationship marketing, it focused on building long-term value with customers, treating them as partners, and also making use of influencers in helping them understand what products and services are. Integrated marketing helps the financial service provider to align products, pricing, communication channels, and services. These four pillars of holistic marketing are actually utilized by financial institutions based on their needs. But these four pillars stand as the basic foundations for holistic marketing. The internal marketing helps financial institutions to make their employees, mold their employees to deliver better marketing promises. And the performance marketing gives a very unique way for financial institutions to measure the financial and non-financial outcomes, because once only the financial outcomes were measured, but now the non-financial outcomes measurement also brings in clarity whether the marketing is indeed effective or not. So this measures the sales, the profits, the customer lifetime value, the brand equity, satisfaction, and social impact. So in all, when we talk about holistic marketing, the four pillars of holistic marketing given by Philip Kotler and Kevin Kane Lehler are relationship marketing, integrated marketing, internal marketing, performance marketing. Financial institutions find this very useful, and they leverage this basic pillars of holistic marketing to customize based on their needs. And this concepts is helping to progress in this financial services market. Then came the liberalization, deregulation, and competitions of the 1990s. A new market reality was to be faced. Financial services marketing was reshaped by fintech innovations, public digital infrastructure, social and mobile technologies, wherein marketing became more critical for survival and growth, and financial institutions have no option but to have the latest strategies to stay in the market and grow. The key features of contemporary marketing of financial services were fintech-powered ecosystem. Financial institutions had to partner with fintechs for taking their specialties and embracing it for their growth. The digital-first approach and omnichannel experience was the topmost tactics the financial institution deployed to reach more customers, deliver it with speed and efficiency, and in turn grow at a larger pace. The smart use of data, the AI and the ML helped them to understand the customer better and tailor products based on their needs. The hyper-personalization, automated alerts, reminders, and nudges took special care that customers got what they want. Customers were reminded about their needs, as well as they were given nudges to understand that they should approach the financial service provider for getting their needs fulfilled. The goal in all was giving the right message to the right customer at the right moment, which not only helped the customer to get what they want at the right time, and in turn, they had a larger trust on the financial service provider. They could start understanding what value the financial service provider provide to their day-to-day activities, more specifically related with finance. Then came the mobile and social revolution of the 2000, from 2005 to 2015. This mobile revolution helped to reach the masses, more specifically in the rural and the unbanked areas. The financial inclusion concept gained strength, the rural outreach was increased, and it increased the awareness and education of the people. Various platforms such as the Facebook, YouTube, and the regional language contact was effectively deployed to create awareness and education. The mobile banking apps need not require any training institutes for reaching the masses, as mobile was available with every person, even in the remotest areas. The beautiful apps and the SMS alerts help them understand what the financial services, what the latest updates are, and the customers could easily understand it and utilize it. The open banking and the APIs help them to share services and make them easier for the users. Social media as default marketing channel was effectively utilized, because once upon a time only the print media, more specifically the newspapers, or later the TV or the radio, which was specifically utilized as a paid media, but social media became a very convenient tool for marketers because of the mobile and social revolution that happened from 2005 to 2015. It also established a two-way digital communication wherein financial service provider could broadcast what they have for the customers, and in turn customers could quickly respond and give them a feedback. And based on that, the financial service provider could immediately come back with the upgradation or update for them. Then came a super age, which we are in now, which we call it as the hyper-personalization. And this hyper-personalization has happened because of the tremendous impact of the artificial intelligence as well as the analytics. The newer tools in the form of chatbots and the robo-advisors had provided a lot of convenience to the customers. They don't have to visit the branch. They can get any sort of queries related with finance answered quickly through the chatbots and robo-advisors. The AI-driven campaign automation, wherein the same campaign can repeatedly run with a particular targeted segment based on the needs, based on the situation, based on the circumstance of the customer. Influencer-led marketing would help experts reach out to the customers, explain them the products and services, and increase the confidence to buy that product. The ROI-focused digital advertising, more specifically to pay-per-click, the Google Ads, the Instagrams, actually help the marketers to understand what returns they are getting out of their marketing, not just wasting money on marketing, but generating returns out of marketing. The high-quality educational content was increased. Interactive marketing happened with explainer videos and storytelling. The basic objective was to educate the customer, to make them more aware, and this helped in to have successful campaign flow, even through WhatsApp, through push notification, through YouTube, long-form, short-form videos, as well as Instagram retargeting. So friends, now we have entered into the latest era of hyper-personalization, which is driven by the AI and the advanced technologies, but that doesn't mean traditional marketing is dying. Traditional marketing is not dying, but evolving. It is complementing the digital system. At no point of time we can say that the traditional marketing, which was happening once upon a time, has become redundant. It has set the foundation, but the digital systems are complementing it. It is improvising it. The technology is accelerating the transactions, but human interactions are necessary for building trust. The artificial intelligence may provide the best, but still the human brain comes in when it comes to identifying the customer and interacting with them in their language and in their preference. Continued relevance is modern India. The traditional marketing is finding its continued relevance in modern India. The traditional channels remain vital, especially for the senior citizens, for people living in no connectivity regions who are not well-versed with the technology even today, as well as the rural financial inclusions wherein various schemes, various government schemes, as well as schemes by various private institutions are also trying to reach the remotest people living in the rural areas. And here comes the importance of the hybrid financial models, wherein we are neither ignoring the traditional channels, nor we are focusing only on the digital channels. We have a mix of it, what we call as the hybrid systems. When we talk about hybrid systems, it ensures inclusion. It ensures inclusion of serving both the urban and the rural masses. It also makes both the young and the elderly feel comfortable. It also helps both the tech-savvy and the tech-resistant customers feel comfortable. So the hybrid model takes care of all types of customers. It builds trust, scalability, as well as sustainability. If we have to understand this with an example, a local branch manager, say at a rural area, might also be using a digital tool for simple onboarding with digital KYC. A business correspondent, even at a rural place, can use his handheld device for taking or delivering money to the customers. An insurance agent can use mobile apps to accept the proposal or to initiate the proposal and ensure that the policy is also issued online. A self-help group can use digital bookkeeping and wallets. The outcome is in the form of digital efficiency, and the human reassurance. Now, friends, we enter into yet another important development that has happened, equally important like digital technology, or we can also say a better version of technology which is useful for the masses. And that is what we are talking about, the public digital infrastructure, popularly known as the PDI. Now let us understand the importance of public digital infrastructure. Public digital infrastructure is a shared digital platforms. Now when we talk about shared digital platforms, these are built by government and public institutions for a specific purpose. The first amongst them is to provide an inclusive approach. In this inclusive approach, a large scale of customers or people can participate into this platform. People can actually use this platform for getting different products and services in a trusted environment. So PDI provides a secure, scalable, and inclusive digital services. And when marketers use this platform, this reinvented platform, it helps them for a faster onboarding of different types of customers. Because of the scalable facility provided in this, people, large number of people can be connected at a lower cost of inclusion. Wider inclusion happen because marketers can reach even the remotest corner, because here there is no question of sending of products. It is giving access to the platforms, and people can access it from any time, real time, as well as personalization, and products and service can be provided specifically tailored to the needs of the customers. We will see who all are included in the public digital infrastructure. Each participant in this infrastructure has a specific role to play. Now, because of this PDI, there is a big shift in the marketing from mass persuasion to API discoverable differentiation. There is no need of sending specific advertisement for a market, a huge market. Specific messages can be designed in the regional languages itself for discovering specific segment of customers, for designing products based on their needs, for keeping live engagements with them, as well as advocating different products. With PDI, marketers can design frictionless customers' journey. When we talk about frictionless customers' journey, the digital aspect totally eliminates the long, cumbersome, paper-based approach. The consent-based personalization helps the financial institutions to use the customer data based on his consent to work out on different solutions that can be offered, and in turn, the customer is more happy. That's not all. These solutions need not be obtained from the branch, but it can be inbuilt into daily life in whatever the customers do. That's where we call as the embedded finance experience, where the customer is going for a travel, whether a customer is going to a mall for buying something. All these financial needs can be inbuilt into his purchases on different platforms. That's what is the beauty of the public digital infrastructure. Now, before we go into deeper aspect of the PDI, let us understand the marketing ecosystem. So this will help in turn to understand how this PDI is reshaping it. When we talk about a marketing ecosystem, we can broadly classify it into macro marketing ecosystem and micro marketing ecosystem. When we talk about macro marketing ecosystem, this is a broad area which is actually impacted by uncontrollable factors which shape the strategy of or the decisions of the financial service provider. These external forces or the broad forces can be political, regulatory, economical, social, technological, and even the competition. When we talk about the micro marketing ecosystem, these are the internal forces within the environment of the financial service provider, and these are more or less controllable because this involves the operational elements affecting the execution of the marketing strategy, which includes your people, your capital assets, the policies and procedures, the materials, the customers, the suppliers, as well as the distributors. Both the macro as well as the micro marketing ecosystem deeply impacts the overall marketing of the services, and both are deeply reshaped by the PDI. How is that happening? The PDI enablers and marketing implications. For example, UPI. When we talk about UPI, these are the spend-based segmentations and timely offers. People can choose right from small ticket to big ticket payments through with UPI. The digital locker totally removes the cumbersomeness of physical paper-based processes. This helps one-tap onboarding with simple digital verification. The OCEN, which is basically providing credit, small credit embedded in the customer journeys, is tremendously helping customers to get money as they want rather than going through the actual loan processes, which can be time consuming. Similarly, the ONDC provides an open network which brings together both the buyers and sellers, and it makes this transaction flow of finance very seamless. The best example is the BNPL, buy now, pay later, wherein the customer gets the facility of paying later in small installments, and that too at a lower price. Then we have the aggregators, wherein consent-based personalization and trust messaging happens, and this can also happen in the vernacular language, wherein the customer's data is actually utilized for designing and tailoring products based on his needs. Now let's understand more specifically about the BNPL, buy now, pay later, marketing at the moment of need. The BNPL has beautiful success drivers in the form of instant affordability. Because this payment has to be done in small chunks, customer feels happy to do it. And this doesn't require a loan process application. It is simply embedded at a checkout, wherein with the purchase itself, the customer can use this option, and that brings in minimal friction in this transaction. Marketers often have specific narratives for popularizing this BNPL concept. They specifically say split payments with zero interest, wherein customer feels, I don't have to pay a big amount, and whatever I pay, that comes at zero interest. Transparent terms, no hidden fees. So the basic fear in the mind of customer is removed by this marketing narrative, because it clearly says whatever is shown in this digital screen is transparent, and there are no hidden features which ask the customer to pay something extra later. Then there are different UX tools. Customer can experience better service with one-click checkout, minimal KYC, the spending limits with the reminders as well as the nudges. So this all in all helps the BNPL concept to become popular, and marketing has its goal fulfilled. Now friends, let us understand the strategic imperatives of the reinvented digital financial services. Because when we saw the traditional marketing, it had a smaller market, it had a fewer players. But when we talk about this reinvented digital financial service landscape, it is a complex ecosystem involving larger number of players. Within players, also there are partnerships and collaborations, and hence we have certain strategic imperatives. Like in the first imperative of digital first financial ecosystem, right from the discovery to the onboarding with the eKYC to the advocacy, there has to be a digital first effectiveness in making a seamless transaction wherein the customer's trust is taken care of. At the same time, the delivery is very smooth. In case of cross-border compliance and global competition, care has to be taken to comply with the KYC and the AML guidelines, wherein the compliance does not have any repercussions in the form of penalty, because if there is non-compliance, the penalty can happen, reputation can be impacted, and when we go for global approach, such things matter a lot. In terms of digital trust and brand equity, the trust is established based on how well the customer takes of the delivery of service, and based on that, the brand equity also is created with the feedback given in the social media. To make this digital trust and establish the brand equity, the financial institution may have to collaborate with different players, have partnerships with fintechs, have collaborations with specialists to create an API-driven network wherein the core product can be made better with the help of partnerships and collaborations. And of course, there will be competition from non-traditional players who also form a part of the ecosystem. So keeping that into mind, financial service providers have to market their own core products. They can no more exist with siloed operations, especially in the interconnected digital value chains. They have to look out for partnerships. They have to look out for collaborations, which will help them to transform financial services from persuasion to participation, from products to platforms, and from transactions to trusted ecosystems. Only then they can reach a wider customers. They can embrace the financial inclusion. They can create trust, and they can scale up their operations and become a trusted ecosystem. Now, who are the key players in the modern financial services ecosystem, which also comprises the PDI infrastructure? The first one becomes the digital public digital rail operators. These are specifically for providing frictionless onboarding, wherein the platforms take care of right from discovery to the actually KYC, eKYC, to the onboard frictionless onboarding, and next to providing the updates and advocacy. Another important player is the regulated financial institution, who are actually issuing licenses, ensures that these financial providers operate within the boundaries, complies with the regulations specifically meant for the protecting the interests of the customers. Then comes the fintechs and the neobanks, who are helping the financial service providers for personalization, for designing based on product needs, for providing the expertise in technology. The aggregators and the marketplaces helps to reach more customers, to cross-sell and upsell, which further provides performance marketing in a better way. Then comes the big tech messaging and the telecom industry, who plays a big role in reaching to the remotest of remotest areas, even reaching in the vernacular language, so that even the common people gets access to these platforms and can take benefits of the financial services. The RegTech and the InfraTech helps the financial service providers to automate various compliances rather than hefty paperwork, to have effectiveness in complying and reporting, wherein they ensure that everything that is happening is based on the regulations provided by the regulator. And finally, the developers and ecosystem partners, who ensure that no one can exist on their own in the complex ecosystem, but with partnerships and collaborations, each entity can develop newer systems with innovations and ultimately grow and scale up for not only providing value to the customers, but in turn grow over a long term and sustain. The key players in the modern financial systems operates in a shared ecosystem, wherein the influence is distributed across the digital rails, platforms, and institutions, and therefore marketer must think the ecosystem first, product second. Gone are the days when products were designed and were distributed. Now, the financial institution understand the ecosystem first, and based on the needs, the product should be designed. The marketing advantages comes not from owning the product, but from mastering your role in the ecosystem. If you can provide the right product to the right customer at the right place, you succeed, else your products won't be in demand. Now comes an important subsection of this chapter one as to why should students learn about the evolution of marketing. Friends, as a student, it's very important to understand how this evolution has happened. Well, technology has changed the delivery, but the most important aspect in modern times is trust defines the success. And when we talk about trust, one has to know how this marketing has evolved right from the ancient times to the modern times, because the most common goal of marketing serving the customer needs has remains unchanged. So unless you understand how different marketers have adapted for fulfilling the needs of the customer, you cannot directly enter into the present marketing ecosystem. Financial services marketing operates at the intersection of risk, trust, and regulation. So a big risk happens if you fail negative publicity. If you misdeliver, your trust is gone. And at the same time, there are regulations which on non-compliance can attract penalty, and even the licenses can be freezed. Marketing has evolved from community-based credit system to digital platforms and AI-driven journeys. Understanding this journey explains why marketing looks the way it does today. And hence, because we are at the intersection of risk, trust, and regulation, as a student of marketing, one has to go through this journey. Only then they can play an active role in the present marketing ecosystem. Modern strategies are built on the historical trust mechanisms, the social behavioral patterns, and earlier institutional practices. As we have seen before, the traditional marketing is not dying, but it has got upgradations. It has got new tools by which it is prospering. The legacy practices still matter. The digital tools are for enhancing, but not replacing the traditional marketing. The digital tools helps to build more trust. Financial marketing has always adapted to social changes. And when we talk about social changes, now we have customers, we have communities who are more informed. They know what they want. They can tap the platforms from where they want. And if you are in that, you succeed. To understand the today's omnichannel world, students must know where it began. This will help them to decode why customers behave the way they do today. The studying evolution of marketing will help students to connect the past, present, and the future. It will help them to understand the complex financial ecosystems. It will help to balance the human values with technology, which is very important when we talk about a hybrid model, because one model does not fit all. We have different types of customers, and based on the needs, the service has to be delivered. They should think beyond the tools and campaigns, because some people may not prefer technology, while some people may prefer technology. So based on what the audience is, what the target market is, they have to devise their strategies. Evolutionary understanding enables better diagnosis of problems, smarter strategy design, as well as long-term thinking. Students can recognize the repeating trust patterns, anticipate regulation technology, the behavioral shifts, design ethical and scalable marketing strategies, and most importantly, they can avoid repeating the historical mistakes. Because if you do the same mistakes again, then your business won't grow. And in addition to that, they have to have new ideas for building inclusive solutions for the new customer segments, because newer and newer customers will get added with the change of generations. To market the future of finance, one must first understand its past. Only then they can deliver better in the present. Thank you.